Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Say amen again.
Amen.
What a blessing it is to be on this time side of life, this Lord's Day morning.
Yes.
We want to thank God for allowing us to make it through the holidays up to this point. We have one more week of holidays, and then I guess we'll all get back to work full time. I want to thank God for allowing me to be here this morning, for the elders and Brother Manzo to allow me to step in his stead while he's recovering. I thought it would be moving to bring this message because it kind of applies to problems and situations and sicknesses and deaths that we encounter during being on this time side of life. Now I'm gonna have to leave as soon as I get through, so I don't want nobody to think I'm just running out. In Mark, the 4th chapter, we wanna begin at verse 35. Mark, the 4th chapter, verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?
Yes, sir.
We who are baptized believers, who are children of God, we have what is called a storm-proof religion.
Amen.
You know as well as I do, whenever storms come up, and I'm talking about physical storms, we have a tendency to get a little bit fearful. Now, I try to get somewhere where it's safe and secure to ride out the storm. I've seen times when it has rained so hard it looked like sheets of water falling from the sky, and I said, Lord, get me somewhere safe and secure from this storm. You know, church, if it had been a tornado or a hurricane, it may have hit the building or the car that I was riding in, maybe even destroyed it, maybe even taken my life. I may have thought that I was safe and secure, but really I wasn't, because anything can happen physically in this life. But when it comes to religion, we have what is called a storm-proof religion. We have a religion that is able to withstand storms and stress and anything the world can conjure up. And it can withstand it because Jesus is on the ship of life and he is in total control. Life is so uncertain. It's so uncertain that we don't know when or where our life is going to come to an end. When we were born, we came into this world, but right now what I'm trying to do is pass over to the other side, and the other side is heaven.
Yes,
Really doesn't matter when we were born or when we die. All that really matters is that dash you see on the graveside, on the grave plots. All that really matters is what we do while we're passing through. So Jesus got on this boat and he said to his brethren, let us pass over to the other side.
Yes, sir.
Life is just a passing over to the other side. I'm trying to enjoy life right now, but this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. But as they were passing through, something began to happen. A storm church began to brew. And these men who were on the ship were not on the ship for the first time. Their occupation was that they were fishermen and they had been on ships before. There was nothing unusual for them, and even storms were not unusual, but here was a storm that they could not control. So while they were passing over, just to the other side, a storm began to brew. There was thunder, there was lightning, the waves were jumping into the ship, the wind was rocking and reeling the ship, and these men were fearful for their lives. We have storms too, Brother Jones, but I'm not talking about physical rain, thunder, and lightning. I'm talking about things that happen day in and day out in our lives. Somebody right now is going through a storm, but we are passing over, church, but still storms come up. And this is why it is important that we develop and maintain storm-proof religion, because we need Jesus to help us make it to the other side. So while they were passing over, they tried everything to lighten up the load. Finally, they said, let's try Jesus. In church, I've often wondered, why is it when we are going through something, why don't we call on Jesus first and then pay attention to what he tells us to say and do? Why don't we do that, church? They tried everything else, and finally, when everything else didn't work, they said, let's try Jesus. So they went down there the way it was, and they woke him up. And it's amazing to me that the Lord could sleep through this storm. You had thunder, you had lightning, and you know how it is when you in bed or in that lazy chair at night trying to go to sleep, you hear that roar of thunder and it'll wake you up. It's difficult to sleep through a storm, but what was ironic was that the storm didn't wake Jesus, but his brethren were disturbed. These men, they saw the storm. They began to call out to Jesus. Why? Because they trusted that he would be able to do something to save their lives. Therefore, they had to be obedient to whatever he said or did. Don't you know, church, he's able? He's able because he came up topside. He could see the lightning flashing. He could hear the thunder roaring. He could feel the rain falling from heaven. He could see water jumping into the ship. And the Bible says the ship was full of water.
Well, yes, sir.
Now, we all know by man's facts, when a ship gets full of water, it's supposed to sink. But the ship didn't sink. Why? Because Jesus was on board. When your life is full of atrocities, if the Lord is on board in your life, nothing will cause you to go under. You see, man's facts will tell you you're going under, but when Jesus is on board in your life, he says you're not going under, you're going over. He said, just trust in me. See, with Jesus, you're able to withstand stress. That's why it's important that we trust in him, because our faith has to go through the tests to withstand the stress. You see, if you got the Lord on board, there's not enough stress in this world that will take you under, because the Lord said in the beginning of our relationship with him that we're going over.
Amen.
See, church, what we need to realize and understand is that God made us. He created us. He sustains us. He blesses us day in and day out, no matter what the situation is. And all he wants us to do is put our trust in him.
Amen.
You see, we live in a world surrounded by the raging seas, violent winds of broken relationships, workplace pressures, difficult circumstances, and then we begin to grow weary as we struggle to endure in the midst of anxiety and discouragement and hurt and pain.
Yes, sir.
Times we feel like the storm has become a hurricane.
Yeah.
Nothing's going right. We want to escape it all. We think so endless. Other rains and squalls that sometimes we begin to lose hope. But at these times, we should look to the promise that when we seek shelter in God, we can rest in his shadow, because he's our refuge, he's our hiding place, he's our fortress, our shield of protection, he's our quiet harbor in which we can find true peace. That's why he said, if you walk in the light, 1 John 1 and verse 7, as he is in the light and have fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, that walking in the light is talking about our conduct. How's your conduct when you get in a negative situation? Oh, yeah. Are you a Christian on Monday through Saturday? Or just a Christian on Sunday?
Right.
Our manner of living is it just being a Christian on Sunday or Monday through Saturday? You see, we are going to have to accept and obey the truth every day of the week. Have fellowship with God and others who are obeying the truth. You see, when you come into this house, this old ship of Zion, Jesus is the commander in chief. And it's not going under. It won't be destroyed, because he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And it's on its way back to glory, whether you're in it or not. And you can't throw me off this ship. All we have to do, church, is come and call on him, and he'll come to our rescue. Now, when he comes, he's going to tell us what we need to do. When he tells us what we need to do, we've got to trust and obey him. That's why he says in John 4, 23 and verse 24, that the true worshipers worship God in spirit and in truth. And you can't worship God in truth and not have the spirit. You can't worship God in spirit and not do it by the truth. The two go together. In spirit, right attitude of mind. In truth, according to this blood-sealed covenant of the Son of God. So Jesus is out on this boat with his brethren, and he knows that they are disturbed, they are afraid. So he says, "Peace, be still." He didn't have to say it loud. The elements had heard his voice before in Genesis chapter 1. John 1:1, that he was with God in the beginning. And when he said, let us, let there be, the elements knew his voice. So when he said, peace, be still, he was making two statements. Number one, he says, I want my brethren to be at peace. Number two, in order for them to be at peace, he says, everything has to be still out here. The thunderstorms, the thunder drums stop beating. The lightning folded its flames and ran back to where they came from. The wind stopped howling and ran back into the hills. The sea laid down like a pit before his master. The waves that were on their way into the ship fell back into the sea. Everything became calm. Why? Because the Lord of glory said, be still out here. All he did was speak. Everything became calm just at the sound of his voice. Amen. Everything stopped because the Lord of creation said, be still out here. Don't you think if the Lord can control thunder, lightning, the wind, and the rain, don't you think that he can control anything and everything? Goes on in your life. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in his words. That's why, church, we must let Christ rule in our lives. Put our trust in him. I heard the psalmist say, 68th division of the psalm, blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burdens. I'm going to tell you, church, loads will get heavier the longer you try to carry them. Keep on trying to deal with them loads you can't do nothing about. This is true, church, of physical weight and emotional responsibilities. The more time you contend with them, the more fatigued you're going to become. You might think you've got a custom that you have control of your burdens. You might think you can handle them, but they're going to keep on dragging you down. We don't have to be self-sufficient. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 11 verse 28, he says, come unto me. That's an invitation. He's saying, I'm happy to carry your burdens. He says, I'll be your unfailing strength. He says, and I'll use that weight to help you grow. He says, come unto me. Put your trust in me. There are things, church, many things in life that we just don't have the strength to handle. And as baptized believers, as children of God, we have the promise that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Paraclete that will comfort us. Amen. We have all that power. Amen. Use it. Yes, sir. I found out just 6 months ago I had a virus in my body that I was diagnosed with. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? They began to take tests, trying to find out what the problem was. Biopsies and autopsies and all kind of stuff. I know. I felt like I was dead. So, good Lord, you're killing my pocket and my body and everything. But the Lord kept providing. Let me tell you something, church. I was worried about paying that copay, and you know, insurance only pays so much. It's good to have now, but I'm going to tell you, them bills started rolling in. I said, darn, they were stacked up that day. I'd get them down here, then they'd get back up there. But let me tell you, the Lord, if you are a good steward now, let me throw that in there. You got to be a good steward with what the Lord gives you to work with. Make some sacrifices, some things and places you can't go. Listen to the doctors. And he will remove some stuff to where it will be comfortable for you to contend with. You won't have to go home worrying about how I'm going to pay this or pay that. I'm here to tell you that he will make a way if you just trust in him. 4 months later, they sent me back in the office and said, Mr. Dow, there's no sign of that virus. Undetected. They said, now you still got 21 more treatments to go. But the Lord has still blessed me to be able to come to work. We work for people, me and Brother Jones, that I don't know how y'all get along with folk in the world on these jobs. I don't know how y'all really need stormproof religion. If I would work for some worldly person, which I know God would work that thing out no matter who I work for, if I show and let him know that I'm trusting in him, it's more than just lip service now. You've got to really talk to him on a daily basis. I'm not talking about just when you get up in the morning and when you go to bed at night. With the kind of condition and side effects that I have to talk to him day in and day out, all day long, asking everybody to pray for me. God gives you the strength. I'm going to have to cut off about right here. In order for you to get this storm-proof religion, you're going to have to be in the Lord's house. A member of the church you read about in the New Testament, where all spiritual blessings flow. And you have to be in Christ and in his church. The two go together, just like in spirit and in truth. You can't separate Jesus from his church. The saved are in the church, Acts 2, verse 47. You get in it by hearing the gospel. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You must believe it. Hebrews 11 and 6. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. There is a reward of them that diligently seek after him. You must repent. Luke 13 and 3. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You must confess that Jesus is the Christ. Matthew 10, 32. Jesus said, if you confess me before mankind, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Verse 33 says, but if you deny me. Don't you know, church, we deny the Lord by our manner of living if it's contrary to the will of God. Amen. We are to be lights. We are to be thermostats, not thermometers. You have to be buried in that watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. Acts 2, verse 38, Mark 16, 16, 1 Peter 3, 21, Romans 6, 3, and 4. There are many other scriptures. That puts you into Christ. The Lord adds you to his church. You come up out of that watery grave, a new creature in Christ, and you walk in the newness of life. You strive, you have the blood continuously cleansing you. You have the Holy Spirit guiding you. You have the Word leading you. So if you are not a member of the Lord's church, you need to be an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you are a member of the Lord's church and you have strayed away, this is the time to come back, rededicate your life, or if you just need prayer as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
When the Savior calls, I will answer when he calls for me.
Just come to Jesus this morning. Don't you want to hear your name called at the end of time? Be right here in the Lord's church.
Somewhere
listening for my
name.
I want to hear my name called by the Lord.
Somewhere.
Today for tomorrow. Tomorrow
is
not promised.
I will hear if my rope is white. When he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.